got a phone call.
It's the chief of police. He says he needs your help.
You have a calling. You're a hero, Hancock. You're going to be miserable the rest of your life until you accept that.
Life here can be difficult for me.
After all, I'm the only one of my kind. You deserve better from me.
I will be better.
I ain't wearing that.
What?
It's a little tight.
Looking forward to seeing that one tonight. Hancock, well, Will Smith is, it's become the tradition now. Will Smith opens the 4th of July movie season every year, and he does it and makes a ton of money for the movie makers. Summer is usually the lighthearted fare. We're going to do a summer movie review here for the final half hour of Issues, etc. Brian Godawa is our guest. He's a screenwriter in Southern California, a regular here on the program, author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. Brian, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Great to hear that you're back on board again on the radio.
Thank you. Christians live with a real tension when it comes to the silver screen. While we want to engage in good entertainment like anybody else, Christians are concerned about the content of sex, profanity, violence in the movies. What's the danger of Christians evaluating films solely on the basis of the content of sex, profanity, or violence?
Well, I think the danger is that if they use that as a sole category for judging, then they're being unbiblical. And as Christians, we want to be biblical in how we live our lives. And in the Bible tells lots of stories, parables, all kinds of things, not just true stories, but parables and other kinds of stories to tell us about God. And within those stories, there's lots of sex, violence, and profanity. And what makes the biblical form of sex, violence, and profanity acceptable is, you know, several things. One, you know, the overarching thing is context. Context, context, context. You know, obviously in the Bible, it's not intended to titillate you. It's not intended to support immoral lifestyles. There's a moral behind it. There's the value of showing God's righteousness versus man's sin. There's a comparison going on there. There's several of these things that show us that the context of the sin is what's all important. And so if you just judge the Bible alone on sex, violence, and profanity, it would get an NC-17 rating. So if we, as Christians, if we want to be consistent in that, we need to also take into consideration in the movies we watch the context, the meaning, the purpose behind it. Thus, if you have a film that you could argue exploits sin, in such as, you know, well, pornography is the easy one, right? But I mean, say you have these violent horror film where it's just about showing kids having sex and then they get killed, new ways of being killed, that borders on nihilistic worldview. Well, then that is obviously a bad intent and a bad context to the sex and violence. But if you have a movie that's equally as violent or sexual, say like a Braveheart or even the Passion of the Christ, right? You know, the context of it will be very redemptive, meaning the sin is depicted in the movie for the purposes of ultimately showing some kind of redemption, not for exploiting it. And that's the fine line that we tread as we watch movies. And I think it's an important issue that Christians raise and that they do have to deal with it. I'm certainly would not say it's a minor issue. I think it's one of the most important issues. But we really need to face it honestly and openly and not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Of course, the other extreme is also possible, and that is where you watch movies without discernment, you just say, it's just entertainment, it doesn't affect me, yada, yada, and you are being affected by the values and the worldviews that are being communicated through movies and through television.
You talk about worldviews in film. Very briefly, before we get to the movies themselves, how do I know what worldview I am imbibing when I'm watching a movie?
Well, first of all, you have to educate yourself as a Christian, because you have to understand a little bit about the nature of worldviews. You have to understand a few of the variations of the worldviews that are out there. In my book, Hollywood Worldviews, I talk about those examples so that you have to understand that this world is not just revolving around your own little self. You have to break out of the bubble, educate yourself, find out that what are other people saying in the world about the way the world ought to be, not just our own little Christian gospel, but there are lots of beliefs and worldviews, and you have to understand them and understand where they come from and where they're going. And when you educate yourself on the worldviews, you're more likely to spot them in the movies that you're watching. And so, for example, and then secondly, I wanted to say was, then you have to educate yourself on watching movies. And that's another thing in my book on Hollywood worldviews, where I try to educate Christians on how to watch a movie by understanding some of the basics that we as storytellers, some of the structural elements that we use in our art of writing. As we're writing our movies and we're crafting our movies, we are employing certain artistic things, certain artistic elements that point you in the direction of where we want you to think and how we want you to see the world. Just like any art form has elements to it that help you understand how they're communicating, whether it's music, whether it's painting, right? The more you learn about that art form, the better you appreciate it and understand how they're communicating to you the things they're communicating. Same way with movies. Movies are stories, and there's a certain structure to the way storytelling operates that, and ultimately, most all storytelling is about redemption. And as you understand how they communicate redemption through a story, you can then watch a movie and appreciate it more and be able to discern what is detrimental to your view and what you might agree with.
Folks, if you have a question or a comment on a movie, give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or send us your email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. So, Brian, give us a quick example of a popular movie that promotes what you consider to be a false worldview.
Well, it's a dangerous thing, what you ask, Todd, because unfortunately, Christians, the first thing we always jump at is precisely false worldviews. We want to point out what's wrong with everything, and I'm not criticizing you, but I'm just saying that's our natural tendency, is to point out what's wrong with everything, and I'll gladly do that, but I also want to say that there are, you know, we also want to look at examples of what we think may be right. Unfortunately, the Hollywood industry is dominated by, it's not dominated by Christian interests. So, yeah, we're going to have probably a lot of mixture of good and bad. But they're human beings, and there's a lot of good that are in movies, too. So one example I might use would be, how about if we pick a movie that is an example of good and bad?
Sure.
To discern the good and bad. Hancock. Great superhero flick, story about Will Smith, plays a superhero who has amnesia, doesn't know who he is, where he comes from, and he is he's a slob and a bum and homeless on the street, and he's really, when he goes to save the day with the criminals, he ends up destroying a lot of public property because he's drunk as he's flying through the sky and hitting buildings and stuff like that. It's actually kind of funny and amusing. It's not something we would normally see for a superhero. But and I'll try not to give too much of the movie away since it's out right now, but as Hancock starts to discover some elements of who he is and such, he soon discovers that he is a part of, how shall I put it? He's drawn to another woman, and through that being drawn to that woman, he starts to realize his true identity. And he starts to discover that his true identity is connected with something in the past, and he's drawn to a person of the opposite sex who is sort of like he is, and they find that in history they're like immortal people. And so in history, people tend to interpret them in the past as angels or gods, and now in the modern day, we interpret them as superheroes, right? So that's sort of a view of naturalism that tries to show that our religious beliefs in the past were really because we didn't understand the reality, and so we interpret it and we create our own religious beliefs, but really they're not gods, they're just people, you know, some beings who have higher powers. That's one aspect of that. Another aspect would be that he's drawn to an opposite sex, and as soon as they get drawn to each other, these superhero immortals, when they fall in love, they lose their superhero powers and become mortal, and they can die. And that sort of has a little bit of reflection, I think, of the Eastern worldview of the yin and yang. And So, you know, drawn, the opposites drawn to each other to cancel each other out. On the positive side, I think that another theme of that movie is about true love and how we are all sort of invulnerable islands unto ourselves as individuals. We protect ourselves. We, you know, we're like individuals and we're selfish. But what love does is when you fall in love with another person, it breaks down those barriers and you become vulnerable to another person. You become more human. You actually become more what you were meant to be as a human being. And that's the upside of what I think Hancock, one of the themes of Hancock, you see. So rather than saying a movie is all bad because it's got this negative worldview, again, I would say most movies are a mixture of good and bad, and that's one example.
Okay, about, let's see, 30 seconds here. Would you recommend a movie like Hancock, given its mixed worldviews that it's that a Christian's going to find?
I would, under the condition of, you know, being an educated, discerning moviegoer. I would recommend it, but I would also qualify it because there's some bad language and some, you know, there's some, you know, irresponsible type, you know, expressions in there that I don't think are for kids. And I unfortunately, today, I would lament the fact that they do put bad language in movies that should be for kids and they shouldn't be there. I don't have a problem with R-rated movie having language. Actually, I don't remember if this is R or PG-13. I suspect it's PG-13.
Well, but Brian Godawa is our guest when we come back. One of my favorite filmmakers, although he's kind of hit and miss, has put out The Happening. Find out what it's about and how it stacks up. Brian Godawa is a regular guest. We're doing a summer movie review here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back. Christy Smith, Sarah Hagerman, Heather Aspeck, January Pearson, Benjamin Aspeck, Regina Tice, Craig Taylor, Pastor Daryl Gelbach, Doris Snashall, and Thomas Tice. Thanks for your support.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, look for the sponsor section at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., liberation theology is so much in the news, especially black liberation theology, given Barack Obama and his former pastor, Jeremiah Wright. We'll talk about liberation theology with Dr. H. Wayne House of Faith Seminary on the program tomorrow. Brian Godawa is our guest. We're doing a summer movie review. I really like And I can't not pronounce the name of the filmmaker who's one of my favorites, M. Night Shyamalan, however it's pronounced. In any event, I've really liked a lot of his films. Signs was unbelievable. I thought The Village was really good, too. Haven't seen all of them. What about The Happening? It was much touted because it came from this guy's director's chair.
Yeah, Shyamalan is really quite, I think he's an interesting filmmaker. He definitely has a very unique sort of take on things, and I'm always interested in seeing his movies. I don't always like them. The Happening I did not really care for all that much, but I think that, you know, being unusually, he sort of pushed the envelope, because normally he does these PG movies, and this one was, I think, R, because a lot of, you know, the premise of the story is that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in certain places all over the eastern coast of America, usually are focused around parks, people start, there's a wind that occurs, and then people start killing themselves, just committing suicide, jumping off a building, shooting themselves in the head, things like this. And that's what's sort of the horror element of it. And it only starts happening in parks, and then they start to surmise that there's some kind of biological terrorist attack, and we follow the heroes as they're trying to escape and get away. And I think that what the story turns out to be is really basically it's kind of the worldview of what we call Gaia, and the Gaia hypothesis is the belief that the planet is an organism with a consciousness, and usually it's considered feminine as well, by the way. But anyway, and so, you know, the idea here is that the planet is fighting back for all the evil pollution that humankind has done. And so I think it plays into the global warming hysteria and the environmentalism hysteria that's dominated a lot of ignorance in the public these days. And as we enter into the new dark ages of this kind of fake science peddling to control people, I think The Happening is sort of it comes out of that worldview, that belief, you know. And so I think I still think that Shyamalan is very clever in how he communicates his worldview and his agenda. But that would be a movie that's more agenda-driven than, say, a Hancock. You know, a Hancock you can appreciate for its entertainment value, and there's some good things in there. But The Happening, the whole point of it is to make a political statement, and in that sense, I don't care for it.
What about Wall-E? My 12-year-old wants to see this movie like nobody's business.
Yeah, Wall-E is the next movie out from Pixar. They're wonderful. They tell great stories. It's the story of a little robot on planet Earth, and Earth has been everybody on Earth has left and gone to space because it's so polluted by trash. There it is again, the pollution thing. And Wall-E is just a little robot who's supposed to clean up, and he's just all alone because everything else has died out, and it's sort of like the story of this lonely little robot. And of course he's anthropomorphized, which means they make him have like human expressions and such, and he falls in love with another little robot that comes to Earth, and basically he ends up going to the spaceship out in the stars where all the humans have been, you know, hiding out or, you know, living. And in that spaceship, all the humans have become so in bondage to the technology, you know, that they've become big, obese, you know, lifeless things. You know, they're almost like, they're more mechanical, they're more like machines than Wall-E is, right? And so Wall-E sort of helps them and brings them back to Earth, and it's a wonderful little entertaining story. And, you know, like I said, it has like most movies, it has a mixture of things that I might like and dislike, but I think one of the elements is to show how when we become too reliant upon technology, we lose our humanity. I think that's a good value. Yeah, so... Anyway.
Okay, is Harrison Ford able to return to a role that he made famous when he was about half the age he is now, Indiana Jones, in the latest one?
Yeah, I got to say for myself, I know there are Indiana Jones fans out there, and I think that they'll love it. I did not care for it. You know, he's old, but these days, you know, I mean, we've got Stallone, we've got Bruce Willis, they're all doing comebacks, so I don't mind that as much, as long as it's entertaining and fun. That's fine with me. And it has all that Indiana Jones stuff to it. It's classic Indiana Jones. And for, you know, if you like that kind of stuff, fine. I don't care for it too much. I saw the movie, and I, sadly, I have to say, too, it was a movie that it almost like Spielberg and Lucas just retrogressed back to the 80s, where the whole point of the movie was this, you know, and again, sorry for the spoilers, you guys, but if we're talking worldviews, you've got to the spoiler often includes the meaning of the film, and so doesn't mean you can't enjoy the movie. But I think at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, man's religions are from aliens who came down to Earth, you know. And, I mean, that's from the 70s and the 80s. It's Chariots of the Gods. And, I mean, that is so old stuff that to do that in the movie thinking it's something new, it was really quite pathetic to me and very disappointing. But in terms of just straight-up Indiana Jones fun action, I think people will love it.
Another deeply flawed hero film is Iron Man, which because I think Robert Downey Jr., being a deeply flawed human being himself, played this flawlessly. I mean, he's hard to look away from when he's on the screen because he has such command of his lines and of the character. What did you think of Iron Man as another hero movie?
Yeah, I think Iron Man was really a good superhero movie. I mean, these comic book superhero movies, obviously, you know, they're going to be a lot lighter than some other movies and not as believable, but you put your suspend your disbelief in order to watch them and have fun. Iron Man is a story of an arms dealer, Tony Stark, who sells arms to everybody purely for cash. So, you know, he ends up arming the Mujahideen, and the, you know, the political overtones there are very obvious. And anyway, when he discovers that his weapons are being purchased and confiscated by terrorist-type people and that they're doing great evil and harm, he has a turn of heart and gets out of that business and wants to do good. Unfortunately, the bad guys who are involved in his company don't want to do that, and that's where the battle comes up. And I think that it's a story of a man who begins to find redemption from living a very isolated Iron Man type life, like, you know, like he is Iron himself. He's a promiscuous playboy who doesn't really care much about people, and his story is about becoming more morally conscious about his actions and also becoming aware of his morality in his life and starting to realize that he has a higher calling in life to do good. And I think that, so, you know, again, that's another movie where it's got a little bit of a political agenda that's very, you know, much against war altogether, you know, type of thing. But it also has some good values about people, about how we should become conscious of that our actions can affect the world, and that we become more human as we become more moral in our character. And so I think that Iron Man's a great, one of the better superhero movies out there, I think.
Daniel in the Twin Cities writes about a World Magazine interview with the Wall-E writer, said that apparently this writer of the film is a Christian and that, in a sense, Jesus was part of the inspiration for the little robot character. Any thoughts there?
Not really. I don't know. I'd like to read that, I guess. I don't know how Jesus would be a part of that, but... Okay. I see. Maybe because he's sort of like the being who comes to the human beings to help redeem them. Maybe that might be where he gets the idea. But no, I wasn't aware of that. But that's interesting.
With only about 30 seconds, Expelled is the one that, when it came out, this Ben Stein movie, all the religious types were just saying this is the best thing since sliced bread. How was the film? 30 seconds.
Documentary. It's a documentary about how intelligent design has been expelled from academia and from science unfairly, and I think it's a wonderful documentary. It's entertaining, it's brilliant, and it's not boring. Go out and get the video if you have the chance. It was really good.
Brian Godawa is a screenwriter in Southern California. He's authored the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me, Todd. Talk to you again soon.
I've mentioned several times here, I plan to go see a movie tonight because the family's out of town. It's easy to sit down, turn off the brain, open the eyes and the ears, and just be entertained for 2 hours. Eat a little popcorn, go home, forget it all happened. But remember, it shapes how we think. Even our entertainments shape how we think, what we think, and the worldview that we have. So we always have our antenna out, watching with wisdom and discernment, watching for the worldview. And when we see one that is unbiblical, we don't run away with our hands over our ears. We learn what it is. We learn how it's being expressed so that we can respond to it, so that we can see the false worldviews even as they crop up in our own minds and lives. Tomorrow on the program, Liberation Theology with Dr. H. Wayne House of Faith Seminary. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.